Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Acts 26, verses 1 through 23. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Hear God's word for this morning. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You may speak in your defense." So Paul, gesturing with his hand, started his defense. "I am fortunate, King Agrippa, that you are the one hearing my defense today against all these accusations made by the Jewish leaders, for I know you are an expert on all Jewish customs and controversies. Now please listen to me patiently. As the Jewish leaders are well aware, I was given a thorough Jewish training from my earliest childhood among my own people in Jerusalem. If they would admit it, they know that I have been a member of the Pharisees, the strictest sect of our religion. Now I am on trial because of my hope in the fulfillment of God's promise made to our ancestors. In fact, that is why the 12 tribes of Israel zealously worship God day and night, and they share the same hope I have. Yet, Your Majesty, they accuse me for having this hope. Why does it seem incredible to any one of you that God can raise the dead? I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could do to oppose the very name of Jesus the Nazarene. Indeed, I did just that in Jerusalem. Authorized by the leading priest, I caused my believers there to be sent to prison, and I cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death. Many times I had them punished in the synagogues to get them to curse Jesus. I was so violently opposed to them that I even chased them down in foreign cities. One day I was on such a mission to Damascus, armed with the authority and commission of the leading priest. About noon, Your Majesty, as I was on the road, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will.' 'Who are you, Lord?' I asked. And the Lord replied, 'I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. Tell people that you have seen me, and tell them what I will show you in the future, and I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I'm sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes, so they may in turn from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me.' And so, King Agrippa, I obeyed that vision from heaven. I preached first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that all must repent of their sins and turn to God and prove that they have changed by the good things they do. Some Jews arrested me in the temple for preaching this, and they tried to kill me. But God has protected me right up to this present time, so I can testify to everyone, from the least to the greatest. I teach nothing except what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and be the first to rise from the dead, and in this way announce God's light to Jews and Gentiles alike. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us go to God in prayer as we prepare our hearts and minds for today's word. Oh God, open your word to us this day and remove any obstacles from our hearing and our receiving. Amen. How many of you here today have a relationship with Jesus Christ because sometime in your life, someone shared their story of an encounter with the risen Christ? A Sunday school teacher, a youth counselor, a friend, a parent, a pastor, or another guest preacher possibly? a family member, a coworker, maybe even a complete stranger. Think back to that person and their story. Did it resonate with you because of what you were going through at that point in time in your life? Did it answer some questions you have been wrestling with? Did it speak to you of a God who truly loved you unconditionally and you had been struggling to know that God loved you? Did it open your eyes to how you had been trying to fill your life, that emptiness within you, with everything but God, and then realizing at some point in their story that God is what you needed all along? Truth be known, most of us are here today because of stories from people that have touched us like that. Someone sat down with us and walked us through the four spiritual laws or the Roman road to salvation is not why we're here. We're not here because of a method of how to become a follower of Jesus Christ. We're not here because someone spouted off Bible verses in every other sentence when they were talking to us. You know those people. I remember some in high school that they couldn't get a sentence out without a Bible verse, and I would usually see people turn and just kind of walk away rolling their eyes. We're not here because someone told us that all we needed was in the Bible. We're here because someone shared their personal experience of the risen Christ with us. And that made it real. That made Jesus real. That made it personal, that Jesus wanted a personal relationship with us. And that made it come alive, that brought Jesus to life to us. The post-resurrection scriptures in the Gospels and Acts tell of eyewitness accounts of encounters with the risen Christ. And with some of these encounters, the person or persons were then prompted to share their experiences with others. Depending on which gospel you read, Mary and sometimes Mary and the other women with her encountered the risen Christ as they went to the tomb. And what did they do? They returned to tell the disciples what they had seen, that they had met Jesus resurrected from the dead. The two travelers to Emmaus, remember we talked about them, Cleopas and the unnamed one, returned to Jerusalem in the dark of night to tell the disciples that they had seen and walked with and heard and broke bread with Jesus, even though it was dangerous for them to do so in darkness. But they were so excited to share that story. On the day of Pentecost, Peter, who I say was always sticking his foot in his mouth, all of a sudden found his voice. And he was able to tell people about Jesus. The Jesus he had walked with, had lived with, had followed, had served. The Jesus who had forgiven him for denying him after the resurrection. In Acts chapter 8, Philip went to Samaria. Remember, Jews and Samaritans didn't mix, but Philip felt compelled to go to Samaria to tell people about Jesus. And in that, also encountered an Ethiopian eunuch who wasn't understanding what he was reading in the prophet Isaiah, and so he asked Philip to help him understand. And in that, the Ethiopian encountered the risen Christ and was transformed. Then in Acts chapter 9, we learn about this man who was a Pharisee, who was one who persecuted Christians. He was on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians, those who were what they call followers of the way or followers of Jesus. And on that road had a personal encounter with the risen Christ. He had never seen Jesus in person, but yet the risen Christ came to him in that journey. And that encounter changed his life forever, transforming him from one who persecuted Christians to one who now led people to Jesus and into relationship with them. I'm talking about Saul, of course, who later we know as Paul, his Roman and Greek name. And Paul went on to spread the gospel in Greece and Macedonia. And in today's passage, we encounter him right as he's getting ready to be taken to Rome to be imprisoned. And he has given testimony once again of his faith in Jesus Christ. His faith as a defense before Agrippa. We hear this story today, and we're not going to go through the story, but I wanted us to hear the power of Paul's story, because Paul knew his story had power. He knew that what God had done in his life through the risen Christ had changed his life forever, and he wanted to be sure that people knew what had happened to him. He wanted to tell people his story, even the bad stuff in his story. He didn't pull back from letting people know that he had at one time persecuted Christians, even approving their death. He owned up to it. But he realized that God had transformed him, and he wanted to be able to use his story to bring about transformation for others. It wasn't just a one-time event. Paul continued in there as he was talking to Agrippa and told how God had continued to protect him throughout his ministry and his mission. And so today we hear Paul's story to remind us that each of us here today has a story with the risen Christ. Each of us here today has many stories, I'm sure, of encounters with the risen Christ. What are we going to do with them? Quite often I do use my own personal stories in my sermons, not because I think that they're entertaining or to draw attention to myself, but I use them because I think at some point they may resonate with someone here on that particular day on that particular topic and scripture. Because we've had shared experiences together. And so I share some of my personal stories. But you too have stories. You too have stories that people need to hear. And it's important that those stories be heard. Richard Morgan writes, in remembering your story, creating your own spiritual biography, many persons believe that their stories are uninteresting or unimportant. Anybody here think that? Yeah, I see some nods. They claim that only celebrities have colorful, meaningful stories to tell. Some of those maybe we shouldn't tell. They say, I'm not important enough. Who would be interested in my story? Yet every life is worthy of a novel. Why? Because it is a unique, once-told tale. It is your story or my story, and no one else has ever lived it. As Henry Nouwen has expressed it in The Life of the Beloved, your life and my life are, each of them, one of a kind. No one has ever lived your life or my life before, and no one will ever live them again. Our lives are unique stories in the mosaic of human existence, priceless and irreplaceable. Our stories are unique stories in the mosaic of human existence, priceless and irreplaceable. You, my friends, are important. And because you are important, your story is important. Your encounter with Jesus is important. And it's crucial to the work of Jesus in the world today. It's important to you because it is yours, but it's also important to others because they hear in your story how God can change lives and can also change theirs. It tells others that Jesus meets us where we are in our lives at any point in time. Jesus met Paul, Saul, as he was a persecutor of Christians while on the Damascus Road, and changed his life forever. Jesus met me in that social hall of Camp Simatonga, and then outside on that rock when I went out to look at the cross lit on the hill. And I gave my life to him, and that changed my life forever. It changed the trajectory of my life. I'm here today because of that. Because of that encounter with the risen Christ. That's why I'm here. And so Paul's story reminds us that all of us have a story that is important to share. Easter people are people with a story. What if the women had not gone back and talked to the disciples? What if the two men on the road to Emmaus had kept it to themselves and stayed in Emmaus? What if the disciples had stayed locked up in that room even after Jesus came and encountered them but refused to go out and to tell? What if on Pentecost Peter said, not me. All I've done my whole life is stick my foot in my mouth. I'm not going to try it again. What if they had done that? Where would the church be today? Don't be ashamed of your story. It matters. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7 through 8, God has not given us a spirit of fear and of timidity, but of power, of love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. Never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, about our faith in the risen Christ. Again, your story is important. You're going to hear me say that over and over. Your story is important because somewhere along the way, you will meet someone who has shared a similar experience to you. And God will use your story to make the risen Christ real to them. Think about these scenarios or life experiences. And I want you to just think for a moment about how God revealed God's self and the risen Christ to you in those experiences. A time you were angry with God. And let me just say, it's okay to be angry with God. God's big enough to take it and can't do anything with it if we don't let him have it. So think of a time you were angry with God. A time when you experienced forgiveness from someone you had wronged or hurt. Or a time when you had trouble forgiving someone who had wronged or hurt you. A time when you didn't know if you could provide for the needs of you and your family. A time of unexpected joy. A time of clarity after a prolonged period of uncertainty in which direction to take. A time you doubted God's love or even God's existence. A time of deep grief. A time of contentment and peace, the peace of which I spoke last week, that peace that passes all understanding. When we take the time to intentionally reflect on times like these in our lives and other situations and life experiences, we can begin to see, if we haven't already, where God was, where the risen Christ was in the midst of those experiences, and there is our story. When we take time to go back and to look at those experiences, and we then recall where Christ was in the midst of that, then there is our story, the story that God wants us to share with others. There's the story to share with someone when they say to you, you know, I'm not even sure God hears me when I pray. And you've heard people say that. And you had a time in your life when you realized that God did listen. Maybe the answer wasn't what you wanted, but you knew God listened because God gave you confirmation of that in some way. There's the story to share when someone tells you they are angry at God and don't want anything to do with God anymore, and you've been angry with God too, and can share that story with them, giving them permission to be angry at God and let go of that anger so God can bring healing. What people are wanting to hear from followers isn't a bunch of scripture verses, isn't a dogma, theology. They're wanting to hear, what difference has God made in your life through Jesus Christ? They want to hear your stories of those encounters you have had with the resurrected Christ in your life. They want to know Jesus is real. You put skin on Jesus in this day and time when you tell those stories. They want to know that Jesus really does care about their hurts, their longings, their brokenness, their dreams, their doubts, their fears, their anger, their loneliness, and so on. And they can only know Jesus cares about those things for them when we share how he has cared about us in those same times. Our stories are important. Easter people are people with a story. They are important because it is through these stories that God continues to tell the story of his love and grace through Jesus Christ. We had a great day yesterday. If you looked on our Facebook, we had some pictures that shared from some others. We had about 68 people who came to the Fresh Expressions Vision Day yesterday, 17 from Wesley. And we heard from two presenters, Heather Gillard and Jim Pace. And much of what they shared with us was about how we need to share our stories with people outside the church. Jim Pace said in his presentation, he said, "We don't believe all the cool stories have been told yet. We don't believe all the cool stories have been told yet. So we have to go tell them. We have to go tell them. Whether you believe it is or not, your story is a cool story. And it needs to be told. It needs to be heard. It needs to be shared. God is not through telling stories. The stories didn't end when the Bible was complete and the canon was put together. We are a continuation of that scripture as we live it and breathe it and walk it in the world today. We're a continuation of the story of Jesus' resurrection in the world today as we go forth as the body of Christ to tell our stories. And so God is wanting to use our stories of encounter as he has used those stories of encounter for millions of people throughout history. Matthew 25, 14 through 30 is one of Jesus' stories. Now, Jesus used storytelling as a way of teaching. And so he told one of the stories, we call them the parables, and we often refer to it as the parable of the talents. But I want to change that this morning and tell it from the perspective of stories. So hear this story from Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is like a storyteller who was leaving on a trip. He called in his apprentices and entrusted each of them with stories to care for while he was gone. To one he gave 5 stories, to another 2, and to one story. The one who had been given 5 stories took those stories and invested them in others by sharing them. And lo and behold, if she didn't receive 5 new stories to tell. The one who had been given 2 stories took those stories and invested them in others by sharing them. And lo and behold, if he didn't receive 2 stories to tell. But the one who had received the one story was afraid to share it. It was personal. So he kept it to himself until the storyteller returned. After a while, the storyteller returned and called each of his apprentices in to see how they had cared for the stories they had been given. The one who had been given five stories was excited to tell the storyteller that she had invested the stories by sharing them with others and now had five new stories to tell in return. To which the storyteller replied, "Well done. You are a good apprentice and will make a fine storyteller with many stories to tell." The one who had been given two stories was excited to tell the storyteller that he had invested the stories by sharing them with others and now had two new stories to tell in return. To which the storyteller replied, "Well done. You are a good apprentice and will make a fine story with many stories to tell." But the one who had been given only one story told the storyteller he had kept the story to himself because it was personal and he was afraid to share it. To which the storyteller replied, "You could have at least shared it with one person, so maybe that one would have seen fit to share it with others. I will give that story to my other apprentices who will share it far and wide and reap more stories to tell. Now, away from me." Which of those apprentices would you like to be? Which of those apprentices would you like to be? Wouldn't it be great to go out and to share our stories and then return next week with five new stories to tell, stories of how God had used our stories to bring about transformation in others? Wouldn't it be great to go out and to have two stories to tell and to tell those to people and then come back the following week and have two new stories to tell of how God had used those stories to bring about transformation in people? Surely we don't want to be the one that just keeps it to ourselves and it goes to waste. Folks, we have the good news. It's not just news. We call it good news for a reason. And why would we not want to tell people that good news? Easter people are people with a story. What is your story? And who do you think just might need to hear it? Let us pray. Once again, Lord, we give you thanks for those people that you have placed in our lives who have shared their stories with us. Stories that have given us life because in those stories we met the resurrected Christ. Lord, help us to be like the apprentices in this revised parable of Jesus. And let us go invest those stories by sharing them with others and reap more new stories in return. We have the good news. Lord, let us go and shout it from the rooftops. It is in your name we pray. Amen.